If you're struggling in your career, business, or life, this podcast is for you. 9/11 survivor Ari Schoenbrunn shares inspiring interviews so you too can rise like a phoenix from the ashes to live your best life. Here's your host, Ari.
Welcome to Whispers and Bricks. My name is Ari Schoenbrunn and I'm your host. My guest today is Allison Arnoff. Very, very special lady, let me tell you. Allison left a career of several decades in tech, including 7 startups, resulting in 5 acquisitions and 2 IPOs to create Dare to Be Coaching and live her passion, enabling tech leaders, especially women, to accelerate their careers and improve the company's bottom line through confident and effective communication. Allison is a former nationally ranked Division I swimmer and triathlete and has always broken barriers as a female in tech, often being the first woman in many roles over a career, as well as getting a master's in engineering. Allison also has a habit of taking her backpack and getting lost in the jungles of emerging nations, of chumming up sharks to dive with them. In 2020, on an easy bike ride, Allison had an unexpected chest pains and ended up having surgery, having open heart surgery. Complications arose and Allison ended up unconscious for 6 days, almost dying several times, and ending up having to learn to walk again, regain body strength, overcome a dropped foot, and had more surgeries and hospitalizations. Today, Allison is back, living life, hiking, biking, paddling, and back to serving others. She restarted a business with renewed focus and commitment to dare others to be the best version of themselves. Please help me welcome Allison Arnoff. Allison, how are you?
I am wonderful. How are you?
I'm terrific. Wow. Let me tell you, that is some bio you've got there. That's amazing. So, as you know, the name of the podcast is Whispers and Bricks. The whispers are those voices telling us what the right thing to do is and represents the good in life. The bricks represent the bad things we go through in life. And let's be honest, everybody has a brick thrown at them once in a while throughout their lives, sometimes even more, sometimes bigger, sometimes smaller, but everybody gets hit. Now, in your life, you've had many bricks thrown at you. The biggest one, obviously, in 2020 when you had the chest pains on an easy bike ride. But before we even get into that, being a woman in tech, when that wasn't common, you had to fight every step of the way. Can you take us back to the beginning when you first got into tech and then left a very successful tech career?
Well, you know, it started early on. I had an affinity to math at a young age. In fact, when I was in fifth grade, my teacher called my mom and said, "The boys don't like that your daughter raises her hand before them with the answers." And my mom said, and I just learned this a couple of years ago. My mom never told me this. She never discouraged me from being the girl who raises her hand first. And just at a young age, I guess I was kind of making waves to people who didn't understand that a woman could raise her hand first. And I just, when I was in high school, my physics and chemistry teachers told me about engineering and I loved it and just went forward. So throughout my career, I never thought it was strange that anything I was doing was unique I was just doing what I loved doing. It was really others, not all obviously, but that really felt somehow threatened that I loved all this geeky stuff.
Wow. Yeah. So tell us a little bit. I mean, you're talking about 5, you took 2, there were 2 IPOs, 5 companies that took public. And, you know, tell us about that. What was going on there?
Well, you know, I worked for a couple big companies and then I wanted to move in technical roles and I wanted to move into sales, and a startup saw me do a pitch and offered me to move into sales. So I walked away from the big company and everything associated with it and became the first salesperson at a small startup. And it was great. I mean, I just, I got to go in there and I don't consider it sales. I got to go solve problems for companies and it turned out I had an affinity for it and really mastered the art of getting new technologies adopted by people. And I got hooked. And so I went from startup to startup. That one, that was funny. That one of my customers bought the product and then ended up buying the company. And throughout my career, I just I worked for a couple big companies in there, but mostly focused on startups, and the smaller the better, because you're really, you know, you're creating everything. You're creating strategy and messaging, and you're creating a market, and you're shifting the industry. And it was just great. So of those seven companies, there were six exits is what they're called. One of them was the double hit. Five of them got acquired, and one of them went public and then got acquired, and one just went public. And so it was a great run, and it was really fun. I moved around different technologies and kept learning and growing. And I don't know, there's something about knowing you're part of putting something on the map that's pretty exhilarating.
Wow. Yeah, it absolutely is. So did you have any issues? Were you like the only woman involved in the upper echelon? Were there other women in the upper echelon? Was it you and a bunch of guys?
It depends on the company, but usually, especially, it was often just me in that role, at least in the regions or in the country. In one company, it was in the world. I was the only woman in that role. But, you know, again, it's funny. I never made it an issue. I remember one of the guys said to me once, Allison, you need to stop making this woman thing an issue. And I know I didn't do that. I said, well, I'll disguise the name. Frank, can you give me an example of how I do that? And, you know, crickets. And I said, well, when you come up with one, I'd love for you to share with me so I can learn and grow from the opportunity.
Wow. You didn't pull any punches, did you?
No, you know, I'm a street kid from Chicago. I'm known for being very direct. And I don't know if I'm any more direct than the guys. I think they were shocked to have a woman be so direct. And you know, I'm always kind and compassionate, but also direct. If you ask me what 1+1 is, I will always tell you it's 2.
Okay. So let me ask you this. So after all that success, the IPOs, the buyouts, everything, why did you leave tech?
Well, you know, as early as my 30s, I knew that this wasn't going to be the end game. I knew that my next role in life was going to be in some sort of service role. I thought first it was going to be a teacher, and then I thought it was going to be a psychologist. And then I heard about this coaching thing. So long before I left, I knew coaching was the next step in my journey. I just didn't know when to pull the plug. And at my last company, unfortunately, my dad was sick and dying and died, and I missed a lot of time at work, and I really wasn't showing up for them the way they needed me to. And I really needed to take some time off. And so it was just a good time to take off. So I took my backpack and I went down to the jungles of Belize and Guatemala for a month to clear my head and came back and said, I'm done. This isn't me anymore. And I started a small consulting practice, got to be an analyst for a VC while I went back to school to become an executive coach. And I haven't looked back since.
Wow. That's amazing. That's truly amazing. How did you enjoy the jungles?
Oh, I love Guatemala. In fact, I hope to be able to bring people down there one day. It's a country a lot of Americans don't go to. And as long as you know where to go safely, it's absolutely beautiful. And the people are wonderful.
Wow.
But I've done a lot of things like that. I've stayed in tree houses in Thailand and quit my job one year to go hike the Great Walks of New Zealand by myself. So that's just been my norm, is to go seek adventures.
Wow. Okay. So now take us to 2020, a leisurely bike ride, all of a sudden ends up as a major brick being thrown at you. You know, tell us about that. Like, what was going on? What happened?
Well, you know, in January of 2020, I had to have some surgery. I had to have a hysterectomy, and everything was fine, but I couldn't work out for a while. So I finally get back on my bicycle and I'm going for an easy ride. And though I'm not in triathlete shape anymore, an easy ride is an easy ride. And I started getting some chest pain, and I'll fast forward, but, you know, ended up finding out I had to have open heart surgery. We knew that I had a defective heart valve, but it's checked every August. And every August they go, there's mild, there's moderate, severe. You're barely mild. See you next year. Probably won't be an issue till you're 80. And somehow between that checkup in August and April, my valve had hardened and was stopping working, and they needed to go in and operate. Now, all this is doing during COVID. So you get a blind side that you're having open heart surgery and you're basically getting dropped off at the curb at the hospital.
Oh my God.
I have an amazing surgeon, but somehow when they got in there, the right side of my heart, unbeknownst to all of us, was weak. Probably, I am also an asthmatic, even though I do all this stuff, and they think my asthma had weakened that heart, and they couldn't get me off bypass. So they had to put me in this state of like suspended animation for 6 days to let my heart rest and heal. And I woke up and, you know, it was crazy. I mean, hallucinations, vision trouble. And I couldn't even remember. I was so weak. I couldn't even lift my phone and I couldn't remember how to unlock my phone to call anybody. And I was in intensive care for a couple of weeks. And when you don't move for a few weeks, everything atrophies. I couldn't really feed myself and had to get like stretchy bands to build some arm strength. And then when they started to get me ready to use a walker, we found out that my right foot had dropped, which means it's just hanging there because the device that kept me alive was on my right groin and had compressed the nerves. And we didn't know at this point whether that was temporary or permanent. So when I left the hospital, I left it using a walker, trying to learn to walk without tripping over my foot.
You know, it's interesting because I interviewed a friend of mine who was a 9/11 survivor who had been severely burned, and he wound up in an induced coma for 7 weeks because his lungs were burned. I mean, he was in very, very bad shape. And his story was exactly the same. He had to learn all over again. He couldn't walk. He couldn't lift his phone. Nothing. You know, when you're just bedridden and you're not moving and, you know, obviously in a state of a coma, you know, when you do come out of it, it's starting like a baby. You got to start all over again. And let me ask you this. Did you ever get to a point like you were so low where you said, you know what? I'm giving up. I'm not, you know, I can't handle this. You know, this is not for me. This is not my life. And if you did reach that level, which I'm pretty sure like most people in that position probably would have, how did you get yourself out of it? You know, I mean, I know you're a fighter. I really do. I figured that one out. Okay. But even the best fighters go through those situations. So can you tell me anything about that, Brick?
Yeah, you know, first off, you know, healing isn't a linear journey, right? It's for every step forward, there's steps back. And the first week I was home, I didn't see me being this person again. You know, this person that was literally climbing down rock banks last week, fishing, you know, on a river. I didn't see me being that person again. And so there were a couple of times that went through my head, why did they save me? Definitely had those moments. I'm very fortunate to have an amazing man in my life that, you know, even when I didn't want to get up and go walking or do things, made sure I did. And we had only been together 4 or 5 months when all this happened. And I finally found this amazing person. And so I think part of my incentive was I want to get back my life back so we can, you know, we can start doing all the things we planned. But it was tough. I mean, the second day with the walker, I just decided I'm not walker girl. And I told him I'm not using the walker anymore. And I held his arm. You know, he held it at 90 degrees and I held his arm until I can hold his hand and until I can do it. You know, some days we just walked 2 houses and it's 3 houses and then it's to the end of the block until we can get me around the block. And then on my own, you know, veering like a, you know, I look like a drunken sailor, look like I had a DUI probably because I didn't go to rehab because this is COVID. I didn't feel safe going someplace, but I've been an athlete my whole life. I know my body better than anybody else does. So I rehabbed my foot and learned to walk again with great help. But yeah, there were days. I mean, and then I ended up back in the hospital 2 more times. The third time was for 10 days. Turned out I had a collapsed lung and 3 liters of fluid on my heart and lungs. And they had to drain my lung and slice me open and drain my heart. And inflating a lung was probably one of the most painful things. So, and then during that time, you have to, you know, I'm all tied up on tubes and you have to make sure I don't lose my ability to walk again. So there's setbacks there. So there were definitely setbacks and there's definitely angry moments. And, you know, fortunately my partner stayed with me because he got the brunt of some of it. I mean, I'm not terrible, but I wasn't always, you know, it was tough. And it took until about September until I started realizing, I actually got on my bike ride and did, you know, a 20-mile bike ride and realized, okay, I'm slow, but I can see the path forward now. I can see this happening, but it was, yeah, I think, you know, when you talk about the success of your healing, I don't want people to think it was all okay. Next step. I mean, it's days you don't want to get out of bed. And you know, when my lungs were collapsed, I thought I had COVID and I didn't want to go to the hospital because I didn't know how well the ER had separated things. And, you know, you're scared. So it was, and then, you know, 3 times I had to go to the hospital and dropped at the curb because of COVID, and nobody could be there with me when you wake up. So it was tough, but I think the way I describe it is you can have all those emotions, but you don't get to be friends with them and stay there. You can have the emotions of wanting to give up. You can have the emotions of anger of the situation, the why me, but you can't live in them. You have to just let them say them and just keep stepping forward despite them. And that's the biggest thing, I think, when people give up is they make those bricks their home. And I was not building a home with those bricks.
Wow. Very well said. I like the analogy. But you say everything so nonchalantly, like, yeah, I went to the hospital 3 times, I almost died. But I mean, it's so nonchalant that, it's just.
Well, I've had it's been a little bit of time now, and I've had some clarity, and I've told the story a lot. So I think there's a part of me that is healing, emotionally healing from it, that I can tell the story without all of that. If I told you this story 6 months ago, it'd be different. But I've been trying to use my story to inspire others to see that bad things can happen. And so but no, it's not nonchalant. I mean, though I healed the drop foot, I still have vibrations throughout my leg. And sometimes my right leg feels like it has a mind of its own. I still have vision trouble that hopefully they'll be able to correct in 2 to 3 years. I just had a recent medication problem that was making me dizzy, and we had to readjust things again. So it's not nonchalant. I am focused on all the good things. I mean, I literally just spent the week hiking and kayaking and fishing, and I'm biking again. I'm stand-up paddle boarding. I got my vaccine. I got to go hug my mom recently after all of this, going through all of this. So, I'm focused on those moments. And so it's not nonchalant. It's just, I choose not to sit in the muck of it anymore.
You are truly an inspiration. Truly. I don't think anybody in my audience would deny that. I mean, it's amazing. So after all of that and everything you've been through, tell us what you're doing now.
Well, the name of my company, which came about before all this happened, is Dare to Be, right? It's daring to be the greatest version of yourself. But I had to, rethink things. I had to restart things. And what's my focus? What's my purpose? I was given the second chance. What am I doing? And it's funny. I was thinking about it this morning, since knowing we're going to talk, is I help people remove the bricks from their life. I really help people as a coach get out of their own way. And sometimes it's external things. It could be bias or not having skills to do things. And sometimes it's internal. And we create our own bricks. And yeah. I, as a coach, I work with people who are successful but want to find what the bricks are that are preventing them from living their fullest lives. And so I get to do that now. And, after what I went through, I'm more passionate about it. My career, you said I had a good career, but I had some challenges, and some were, again, people not wanting me there, and others were me not knowing that there were these bricks in my path. And so I try to, now I'm committed to making the path easier for others than it was for me.
Do you feel that telling your story is therapeutic for you?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. I decided that this is actually the last time I'm going to publicly tell my story. I feel healed.
I feel so honored that I'm the last one. Wow. Thank you so much for agreeing to this then.
Yeah, I feel like that I can do. I hope I've inspired people. I feel like I don't want that to be my prominent story anymore. When I see people, I know they haven't seen me, now that they can hug me, it's part of it. But I'm ready to say that chapter is closed, and I'm moving forward. Time to move forward. Time to not look in the rearview mirror as much anymore.
Wow. Okay. I'm gonna disagree with you. I don't often disagree with my guests, but I'm going to disagree with you. I think your story is very, very important, not only because you're a woman, but because, the trials and tribulations, the bricks that you were hit with, that, trust me, I know there are many, many people in my audience that were hit with the same type of bricks, and they need that inspiration that you provide. So I'm going to ask you as a favor to me, Please don't stop telling your story. It is really, really important. People need to hear. They need to know. I mean, how many people, especially during COVID, all right, who actually made it out alive, all right, who caught COVID, were in hospitals for months on end, and then came out. I know there's a rabbi in my neighborhood who literally got hit with COVID. He was in the hospital and the doctors called the families and they said, your husband, your father has about an hour to live. I recommend you get down here right away. And he survived. It was the most amazing thing. There were a lot of prayers going on, and we attribute his recovery to the prayers that the entire community was praying for him, and he actually survived. Now, once he got home, he had to relearn how to walk and how to, the whole thing all over again, like everybody else. But his story is also very inspirational. So people that have gone through these things, all right, have the ability to inspire others, and it's so important. So I'm hoping that maybe not as often as you do, but every so often you should, consider telling your story. Now, so you're doing a Dare to Be, which is a whole coaching program, I guess.
Well, yeah, I work with primarily in the tech industry. I do one-on-one and group coaching and corporate coaching too. I do coach men and women, but I do a lot especially for women because I understand the unique challenges of being a woman in tech. And so I'm their thinking partner. I'm their co-pilot on the journey. Someone that's not emotionally attached to the situation and maybe not, outside looking in without an agenda. I can really help them find their blind spots and their biases and their areas to grow and expand. To take up the space that they deserve to take up in the room.
Wow. So before we go, two things. One, can you give us any words of wisdom to my audience? Something that they can take away with them?
Well, there's so much that goes on in our head. We all have the bricks of the external world, but when, we start making up stories in our head, I call them inherited beliefs. We believe the stories of others, someone that says, you're not going to make it, you're not good enough, you don't belong here. And we make those our stories. So when those happen, my advice is to pause and take a minute and say, wait a minute, is that true? And whose voice is that? And then think of someone that thinks the world of you until you can become your own champion. Who is your biggest champion? And think of what they would say to the situation. So remember, you decide, you can control what the author of the stories in your brain. Don't give power to other people to write your stories for you.
Wow. And who's your champion?
I have so many. I mean, I have the most amazing partner. I have so many great, great friends and family. I mean, I am blessed with a lot of champions in my life and people that remind me what I give to the world and what I can give to the world. So I wouldn't, but my partner is probably my biggest one.
Wow, that's great. Well, I'm honored and proud to call you my friend. I'm so glad that we met. Now, last but not least, if people want to get a hold of you, how would they do that? Yeah, you have a website, you have an email address.
Well, yeah, I just set it up today. So all the pretty graphics and all that aren't there yet, but I have a new way to get on my mailing list. So my brand is Dare to Be.
Dare to Be.
But if you go to idaretobemore.com with the number 2, you'll get on my mailing list. So I dare to be more. I dare to be more. So I dare to be is my website. I dare to be more is my mailing list.
Okay. So it's IDARE number 2 BEMORE.com.
And they can get on my mailing list.
That's how they get on the mailing list. Okay, great. And I dare to be. is the website.
Yes.
Awesome. And are you taking on new clients as we speak?
I am taking on clients. So I have a handful of slots left available.
So women, men and women, I'm going to say, if you're out there and you need some help and you're in the tech industry, Allison Arnoff is the place to be. She is the one that you need to talk to. So once again, it is idaretobemore.com or idaretobe.com. Allison, thanks so much for being my guest on the show and for sharing your story. I know that you've touched many hearts in my audience. Good luck going forward. Keep up the good work. You've been listening to Whispers and Bricks, and I'm your host, Ari Schoenbrunn. Until next time, listen to the whispers, avoid the bricks, and never, ever give up on your dreams. Bye for now.
Thank you.
So that's it for today's episode of Whispers and Bricks. Head on over to iTunes and subscribe to the show. One lucky listener every single week that posts a review on iTunes will win a chance in the grand prize drawing to win a $25,000 private VIP day with Ari himself. Be sure to head on over to whispersandbrickspodcast.com and pick up a free copy of Ari's gift and join us on the next episode.